League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Neil Reynolds Podcast. I'm, of course, Neil Reynolds. And throughout this current season, our third of the podcast, I'll continue to bring you life stories from around the NFL. Now, if you are new to this feed and have just discovered us, be sure to go through your archive because we have more than 60 episodes that you can listen to. We do keep this series evergreen, meaning our first ever episode with the now retired Ryan Fitzpatrick is just as relevant today as the interview you're about to listen to with another NFL quarterback, Davis Mills. I've spoken with players, current and retired, general managers, coaches, and of course some of my friends from within the media to hear how they've all carved out their careers in this sport we all love. If you like what you hear, then please rate and review us wherever you listen, as it does make us more visible. It really does help. And it makes me feel happy to see those 5-star ratings. So do your bit. With that said, let's get into this episode, which is brought to you in association with Elite Sports Travel. We'll have more about our partners for 2022 later in the episode. But right now, I want to introduce you to Davis Mills, the young quarterback currently playing his trade with the Houston Texans. Davis will still just be 23 years old when the new NFL season starts, having been a third-round draft pick, 67th overall in 2021. He was thrust right into the thick of the action in his rookie season after Tyrod Taylor suffered a hamstring injury in week two. Just a few weeks later, he became the first rookie quarterback to throw for more than 300 yards against Bill Belichick's New England Patriots and would finish the year as the Texans' starting quarterback. As you'll hear from our chat, Davis is calm and collected beyond his years, which has no doubt helped him as he makes his way in the NFL in this early stages of his career. So here it is, my chat with Houston Texans quarterback Davis Mills. Let's start with early football memories. Always a quarterback?
Actually, no. Well, I started playing football when I was 6 years old, and up until the first game, I was playing running back. And early on in that first game, we had a couple QB center exchange fumbles, and they put me in at quarterback and kind of ran with it ever since.
Never looked back. Yeah. Who was your favorite team growing up?
I got to say the Falcons growing up, just because I grew up right outside of Atlanta. So I grew up going to games, was a big Michael Vick fan, and then Matt Ryan back in the day. And then randomly in like seventh grade, I started liking the Raiders because I thought they had the coolest jerseys. And that was a big one, but obviously now favorite team's the Texans.
All about the Texans.
Living out my dream.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into that. A lot of people that talk to me on this podcast, you know, they have different journeys to the NFL or to college, and some have maybe one college offer coming out of high school. Some, you know, go to junior college. So it's all different routes to pro football. I wonder if you were highly recruited, right? Five-star athlete, best you can be in terms of those ratings. I know that's probably a nice problem to have, but it was probably still a lot on a young man's shoulders. How many schools did you have to consider? How many schools did you have to talk to?
So like you said, I was pretty highly recruited coming out of high school. I think I had over say 30 offers from all around the country. But my parents really did a good job of helping me narrow it down. They always kind of instilled really good values into me and my siblings growing up, that academics was a very high focus. So I really, of those offers, I kind of tried to narrow it down to the higher academic schools that offered a really good education. And that's one of the reasons that made going to Stanford so easy of a decision, because it was at the time and still is, one of the best schools in the world. So that kind of made it easy on me.
Was it easier then with your parents kind of lifting some of that load? Because that would have been a lot for you, I guess, to get on 30 different phone calls, 30 different coaches visiting your house. You know, so did they help kind of narrow it down?
They did. They helped. Obviously, they kind of told me early on the decision was 100% mine to make the final decision where I go. But it was a big help having them help me along through it and kind of just go through the process with me.
Does it help or influence when you see, I don't know, Jim Plunkett, John Elway, Andrew Luck? Does that factor in? Do you look at that as a quarterback and see quarterbacks who've been before you at Stanford?
Definitely. I think going and just seeing the history of quarterbacks and players that come out of Stanford that made it to the NFL, that kind of allows you to see yourself and visualize your future a little easier because people have done it before and you're just trying to follow in their footsteps.
So you went to Stanford, you redshirted in 2017, played one game in 2018.
Yep.
Is that correct? So how good were you at being patient for somebody who'd been a five-star recruit, you know, and had all these different offers? How were those first couple of years at Stanford?
It was tough. I mean, obviously patience is a big thing that I kind of had to learn because growing up my whole life, the only other time I wasn't the starter on a team was my freshman year of high school when I played JV and the quarterback in front of me went to Yale. So that was probably the only time I didn't start at the highest level that I had available to me. So it took a while to learn. I think the biggest, so I got hurt coming out of high school my senior year in 12th grade, and then I got hurt again my first year at Stanford. So that kind of put my track, delayed it a little bit. And then once I was back fully healthy, I had a little bit of a chance to compete. Really at the earliest, my junior year at Stanford, my third year. And kind of won the job midway through that year and then had my final season my senior year and decided after that I thought I had the talent and I had my degree from Stanford. So that was a big thing I checked off my list before I could leave there. And then kind of here I am. So it worked itself out.
Are you the kind of player or young man who takes those bits of experience and almost kind of collects them, you know, so going through adversity, going through an injury, playing through a pandemic year, are they all kind of things that you have, because they're going to happen to you, they're going to happen to athletes. I guess it's how you respond and how you can take them. Is that kind of how you approach things like that?
Definitely. I think growing through that adversity and learning from it, but also I've kind of always had the mindset growing up, once it happens, there's nothing you can do about it. And the only thing you can focus on is the present and the future. So that was a big thing I always focused on back then. And I've always been kind of that really, calm demeanor. And I think that helped me through it as well, because I never got too low in those moments or too high when something good happened. So, I think that helped me out as well.
I know you had a 500-yard passing day in college. You also had a pretty cool touchdown catch. Was that one of your favorite moments?
That touchdown catch was definitely one of them. I think that, yeah, the 500-yard game versus Washington State was pretty cool as well, I think. I mean, there are a bunch. I don't know if I can single out one specific. Actually, maybe celebrating in the locker room after we beat Cal my senior year to get the axe back. That's what we call the trophy when we play our rival. So that was a pretty cool one.
And those are the bits. That's one of the reasons I know you play for, you know, it is a business as well, but those kind of things are cool, aren't they? When you're in the locker room with your teammates.
Definitely. Yeah. It's the things that happen behind closed doors that the public doesn't really see, but you're celebrating with your teammates and those guys who you put in all the work with, in the off season when no one's paying attention, and it kind of pays off when something like that happens.
What's the draft experience like? I mean, obviously the culmination of it is hearing your name. You just said it was your dream to play in the NFL. Your game gets poured over as well for a few months. What was the whole thing like? And then hearing your name called?
It's exciting. Definitely stressful as well. I think it allows you to take your mind off it when you're through your training phase, kind of leading up to pro day and the combine. My year during last year, we didn't have the combine because of COVID. So that was one thing that I didn't really have to worry about too much. So the biggest thing I had to look forward to was the pro day and then obviously performing at a high level at that. And then after that, the ball's kind of in the NFL team's court and you really don't know what's going to happen until draft night when you hear your name called. So that was just like a big, big sign of relief once that happened and you get the phone call from the team that's going to draft you. And that's one of the best feelings in the world.
Yeah, because some players they get an indication from teams, but there's also situations where, I didn't know that team was interested. I mean, did you have an idea that Houston Texans liked your game?
I mean, not really. I think there was 15, 20 teams that I thought there was a possibility that I end up at. And I mean, I was not shocked, but just surprised that Houston picked me, but I also would have been surprised if anybody else picked me. And it was just an awesome feeling.
Was there a welcome to the NFL moment? I sometimes ask this for players, and it's not necessarily in a game. It could be you realize how much film work there is, or you see the speed of practice in training camp. Was there a moment where you're like, okay, I'm not in college anymore. Definitely not in college anymore.
Yeah, I think there was kind of one in each of those regards, in the meeting room, in practice, and in a game. So starting the meeting one was just kind of a big shock, but just the realization when you show up those first couple days, and especially as a quarterback, you need to set the standard where you're the first one in the building and the last one out. So there's some really early mornings and late nights, and you kind of just got to come to the realization that this is going to be your job for as long as you're in the NFL, and hopefully I can play for a really long time. But that was the first one that you just come to that realization of that you got to put in a lot of work to be successful at this job. The next one, I think during training camp last year, my rookie year, I think I threw 6 interceptions in a practice or something. And that was the most by far that I'd ever thrown in my life in a practice. And I came in like off the field that day, into the locker room, and just felt like I played terrible. And someone told me, which I'd heard before, was like, it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is. So that was something that kind of picked me up, and it just allowed me to move on to the next thing and go back out the next day and do better. So that was the one for practice. And then game, I think it happened in the Cleveland game, my first game I played in the NFL. They blitzed, and I pointed the protection wrong, or I pointed it correct at first and then just never changed it, which I should have based on what the defense was doing. And I dropped back and did not see the safety blitzing off the edge and got destroyed. And I was like, okay, I can't make that mistake anymore. I got to point these right and take a little more time pre-snap so I can protect myself. So that was a big one.
Yeah, you learned the hard way on that one. Yeah, exactly. You talk about that Cleveland game. So you're inserted into the lineup. And I was wondering, actually, when I wrote down this question, and it could apply in high school if your first time you start. It could have been the first time you're thrust into the starting lineup in college. And here you are, you're going in to play against the Cleveland Browns. Is there a moment where you're thinking, I'm about to take my first snaps in the NFL? Or do you completely trust your training and just fall into a rhythm? I wonder if there's still a human part of that, or do you try and stay so focused?
I think you do kind of fall into it and just trust all your training and years of training. But I also think that at the time, everything's moving so fast, you don't really have the time to think, oh my God, like, this is my first ever snap in the NFL. It kind of just happens. And I mean, I kind of had a little bit of time to process and sit down after that game, what went on. But at that point, you just got to kind of make it through and hope everything turns out well.
Did you feel different when you were, obviously you were preparing as the number two, and they always say you got to prepare like a starter anyway, but did it feel different than when you were preparing as the starter as the season unfolded?
I don't think preparation wise it's too different, but when you're actually the starter, the game plan is more suited to your skill set. And I mean, Tyrod and my skill set were a little different, so there were different plays that we were able to run in the game plan that were different, more unique to each of us. So I think that's the biggest thing preparation wise that's any different. But I mean, that thing, prepare like you're the starter or something, all quarterbacks do growing up. And fortunately, I learned that pretty early on in my time as a quarterback. So I don't think that ever was too difficult.
Did you grow in confidence as the season went on, or have you always been a confident player?
I mean, I kind of pride myself as always being a confident player. I think the big thing that changes in the span of the season is just having the experience to pull from different looks you'll see from a defense. It allows you to process quicker and react rather than going out there and having to think and slow yourself down.
Is it harder to walk around Houston? Was it harder to walk around Houston as the season progressed? Did more people know Davis Mills as you're walking around and trying to go to a restaurant?
Not too bad, honestly. Sorry. Obviously, I think I probably got stopped a handful of times last year. I'm sure it'll be a little more difficult to not get noticed this year, but I mean, it hasn't been too bad yet.
That's part of the job, isn't it, as a quarterback? You are so much in the public eye. You are the focal point of a franchise. That comes with the position. And again, that must have been something you had to deal with last year for obvious reasons, which we don't need to get into. All eyes were on the Houston Texans last year. All eyes were on the quarterback room and the quarterback situation. Are you pretty good at shutting out noise and just staying focused?
I think so. And I think during the season, especially, you don't really have time to keep up with what's going on around you because there's so much demand on preparing week in and week out. So, I didn't really notice much of that stuff as the season progressed because I was so focused on just making sure I was doing my job.
We'll be back with more from Davis Mills after this short break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Neil, I'm packing my bags, I've got my passport, and I'm off with you on an elite sport travel trip, correct?
Fantastic, yeah. I think if you can book it and pay for it, Gary, then you are welcome.
I'm still working on a freebie, so I've still got to...
Good, I like it. I like your style, because what you've done is you've gone in early in episode 2. That means there's a good run-up to keep pushing that point and trying to get there on the December trip, early December, going to take in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. So it's going to be a great trip. I'll be in the legs in Las Vegas and Los Angeles, and Elite Sports Travel will look after the punters every step of the way. They are brilliant. They are first class. The clue is in the name, Elite Sports Travel. It's going to be good. They're there to take care of everyone all the way through. So it's not like you just book it and then rock up on your own. They are, they're always there for every turn and every bit of help you might need.
So forgetting the upcoming trip that you've got with them later on this year, just whet the appetite a little bit and tell me about what your favourite trip has been to date with the Elite Sports Travel team. You've done a few.
Yeah, so the best bit was Super Bowl in Miami. Was fantastic, and I think that was just a great, great night. I hosted an event on a rooftop bar in Miami. Jason Bell was one of the guests, and I came away. I probably shouldn't say this, but I came away thinking, how the heck do they make a profit? This place was high end. It was free. The drinks and cocktails were flowing all night for the guests for free. We're up on stage entertaining them for free. And it's just one of the little things that you get with Elite Sports Travel. You get a lot of extras. You get a lot of looking after, a lot of events. And they're always thinking about the fans. So obviously last year I was supposed to go to Buffalo with the group and then the Hall of Fame and then on to a game in Minneapolis. I couldn't go because of COVID restrictions and there were some issues with me potentially getting back for Sky. So they asked if I could meet the fans at the airport at Heathrow because they wanted me to be a part of the trip with the fans. And then I was hosting events on Zoom all the way through the trip. But I went up on the Sunday morning with the fans, spent some time with them at Heathrow. And that was just pushed by Elite Sports Travel. They want the fans to have the best experience. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it does sound great. And for those of you who are wondering who they are and what they do, they are specialists in the NFL and cover everything from regular season, weekend breaks, to celebrity-hosted group trips through to the big one, a Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. And who plays there? The Arizona Cardinals. I did my homework, Neil.
Very good. Yeah, very good, Gary. Looking forward to that. That'll be the the season capper, but like you said, they've got a lot of stuff between now and then that they can put the way of the fans in the UK.
So if you want to find out more, then just visit elitesportstravel.co.uk. So Neil, with that, let's get back to Davis Mills.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is seven-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
What about your first win against Jacksonville? How did you celebrate? Was it, and again, do you kind of involve your family in that? Do you think back to the whole journey when you get that first win in the NFL?
Yes, it was awesome. I actually had a good amount of family who was able to make it down to the game, and immediately after the game, I walked over to them on the sideline, and it was emotional. My mom was crying, telling me how proud she was of me, and it was just a great feeling overall.
What have you been working on year one to year two? And I guess that's going to go from year two to year three to year four. That's the job as well, isn't it? To kind of keep stepping forward.
It is. The biggest thing is just making improvements year in and year out, day to day. The biggest thing, yeah, coming into work every day. And first, big thing I've worked on this offseason is just getting bigger, stronger, and faster. I feel like I've put in a lot of good work in the weight room and on the field, running and just making sure I'm making improvements in that regard. And then another thing, just from building on the experience I had last year, I'll be able to pull from those reps that I was able to stack last year to just go out there and react faster, like I said before.
What's it like in the Houston Texans locker room and the spirit you guys showed last year? You know, right up until the last game, you know, taking Tennessee all the way, no one gave you guys much of a chance. You weren't supposed to win a game and you won four of them. I think that was a lot of the stuff we would have read or heard. And what was that spirit like? How much do you feel that can be kind of taken? And I know each team's new, each season's new. But are there things there you can draw on going into 2022?
Definitely. I think at the tail end of last season, that's kind of when we started playing our best football. Won a couple games at the end of the year and competed with some teams and played closer to some teams that were playoff teams like Tennessee. I think late in that game, if you give us another possession, we're able to come back and win it. Unfortunately, it was too little too late, but I think everyone kind of had that feeling, the confidence that we were able to establish late in the season that'll carry into this year. And I think we're starting to do that now that everyone's back for OTAs. We're starting to get a good feel of the guys around us and just gain that confidence in each other that we're able to go out and play fast and be successful.
I think we could see that in certainly looking at it from this side of the pond, so to speak. You know, we saw the game against Tennessee. You played with a lot of, you look like you're having fun when you play. You look that way when you played against New England. I mean, are you, obviously practice is important, but does it really kind of, is game day when you feel like you see the best version of yourself?
Definitely. I think a lot of guys are like that as well. Obviously practice means a ton and you have to prepare as best you can for the game. But ultimately everything comes down to the result of each and every game. So that's when guys are going out there and putting everything on the line, having the most fun.
Last couple to finish up. What do you think are the keys to being a good NFL quarterback or a good quarterback at any level? Because I guess it's, yeah, they can run through high school, college, pros.
I mean, the obvious one is being able to throw the football. That's the number one thing. But I think two that people wouldn't say are the primary ones are first, being able to process fast and efficiently and get through your progressions. And the next is being a really good leader for your teammates, showing up every day and putting in the work and having the consistent effort and attitude that guys around you can feed off of, and being able to instill confidence around those guys around you to go out, who go out and lay their bodies on the line for you. So that's a big one.
You said throw the football hard, accurately, or both? Which one's more important?
A combination of both. You don't necessarily need to have the strongest arm, but you need to be able to make all the throws. And accuracy is a big thing, but also anticipation and timing is another big one, because you can get away with not having to muscle the ball up if you're throwing on time and you're beating the defender's eyes with the ball.
We talked about everyone's looking at you, everyone's talking about you. How do you like to relax away from football? And again, I know you put in a lot of hours, so I'm sure it's limited time, but what do you do if you get a bit of spare time?
Recently, the biggest things are just spending time with friends, family, my girlfriend. We just got a new puppy, so that's been a lot of very time consuming trying to train him, deal with him. And then the other two are, I've played a lot of golf this off season. Tried to drop my handicap a little bit, and just now that I've actually had a little bit of free time to go out there on the course, that, and then, just video games at my house. When I have a little bit of free time.
Do you play Madden?
No, I'm terrible at Madden.
Right, because it always makes me laugh when players say, I like to play video games to get away from football, and then they play Madden.
They're playing more, yeah. So I used to play Madden a lot, but then I would play against somebody who played a lot, and there's a different skill set that, I mean, I don't think EA Sports would like to hear this, but it's not, from my perspective as a quarterback, it's not the same thing. And I'm trying to make throws that I would make in real life, and it just doesn't end up working on the game.
So you like to go full back to, well, this isn't how it would be. That's a lot more complicated explanation than me, because I just think there's too many buttons. There's just too much going on. So I've just got to ask. I've got a couple of Labradors, so I just need to ask at the end. What puppy have you got?
Golden Doodle.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's, I think, 14 or 15 weeks right now, so still in the early phases.
So once you've trained him, getting those veterans in the right place at the line of scrimmage or in the huddle is going to be no problem.
Oh yeah, that'll be easy.
last one. Do you kind of set yourself goals? Where's Davis Mills going to be 5 years from now?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I don't know if I can look that far forward.
No.
Obviously, there's lofty aspirations and dreams that I can think of, but I mean, my biggest focus right now is day to day and just putting in the work that'll get me to be successful down the road.
Actually, as I asked that question, I was thinking, if you're thinking 5 years down the road, you're not getting 5 years down the road.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah,
good answer. Davis, thank you very much for your time and good luck this season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There you are. That's my conversation with Davis Mills, quarterback of the Houston Texans. So it's time to open up the mailbag, as we are now into episode 2 of season 3 of the Neil Reynolds podcast. Let's bring back in producer Gary Hayes. What have you got for us, Gary?
Well, I've got plenty this week, Neil. After first episode, we decided not to do one just so that everyone could settle back in and listen and get the series up and running. So now I've got 3 for you. So normally I have a bit of a preamble and I gossip, but I thought I should just get straight into it.
To business.
Exactly. Absolutely. Strictly business today. So, first question from Pixel Hunter. He says, Neil, if your team, the Miami Dolphins, had traded for Deshaun Watson, would you, like friend of the podcast, Mark Sessler, have questioned and understandably disowned your team? My only hope as a Browns fan is that he never sees the light of day. And I'm assuming he's talking about Deshaun Watson and not Mark Sessler.
Yes, no, he's definitely talking about Deshaun Watson. Yes, I would have questioned the Dolphins. I did question the Dolphins when they were linked with Deshaun Watson. And yes, I would have probably ended my fandom of the team. I don't think there's any place in the NFL for Deshaun Watson. That would be my personal view. We've heard about the behavior, predatory, egregious, unprecedented. I can see why Mark Sessler turned his back on the team. It saddens me that some Browns fans haven't turned their back on their team and they're excited about the prospects of Deshaun Watson leading them. The Browns are public enemy number one now, Gary. They weren't for a long time. They were one of the feel-good stories of the NFL. Now, I think people are going to root for the Browns to fail because of the contract they offered to Deshaun Watson, the lifeline they offered him,
and the way they hid the money in year two of the deal. So he's not going to lose a lot of cash, early on under that contract. So yes, I would have ended my association with the Miami Dolphins.
Because it is an interesting dilemma teams have, right? When they have to put sporting success, that they're putting sporting success or the hopes of sporting success against moral values, would you say?
I would, and I also think you just read the room and see how egregious some of these things are. You know, there are levels of this stuff. And it was disappointing that there were a number of teams in the stakes to try and get themselves to Sean Watson. The Cleveland Browns won that race, but Atlanta, you know, you can't suddenly be holier than thou. You were trying to get him. Carolina, New Orleans. It's a frustrating one, but I can see why someone like Mark Sessler, a man of great character, would be done with his Browns, and that would have been very hard. He's the most passionate NFL fan of any team I know. So for him to walk away, very, very difficult.
Okay, so moving on, this is Mark Hansen. All these questions have come from Twitter, by the way. And Mark says, do you see Kenny Pickett starting a game this season?
I do, yes. Pittsburgh Steelers, first-round quarterback, of course. Local favourite, played at the University of Pittsburgh. When he jogged onto the field in their first preseason game in week one of the preseason, the crowd went wild. He had a really good outing. You know, I think Mitchell Trubisky is going to get the chance to salvage his career with Act Two as a starter. Of course, he flamed out with the Chicago Bears. But, you know, there's going to be momentum for Pickett. And in certain situations, fans love the backup quarterback. In this situation, they especially love the backup quarterback. So there's no room for error for Trubisky. Mason Rudolph isn't the answer. I think we see Pickett by mid-season at the latest. I think this becomes his team. And I'm very, very interested to see how he does. But he's already got the fan base behind him. That does factor into this.
Right. Well, this leads me perfectly on to the third and final question this week, because we've had Davis Mills on. You're talking about Kenny Pickett as well. So it's almost a quarterback special, not by design, but just by accident. But Mark Lyford asks, and you mentioned Mitchell Trubisky there. So many of the recent quarterback draftees are in or close to the last chance saloon this season, Neil. I'm thinking Mariota, Goff, Jameis, Darnold, D. Jones, Mayfield, Locke, Trubisky, Tua. Who, if any, do you think will have a season to prove the doubters wrong and nail a QB1 slot for their franchise?
I mean, they're all definitely propping up the bar in the last chance saloon. I mean, they're drinking and thinking about where it all went wrong, hugging each other, telling each other they're their best mates. You know how it goes, Gary.
I've never been the last chance saloon, so I don't know.
Have you not? You're always perfectly in control of your
career. I just never got that far.
Oh, okay. I'd like to think that it's Tua. I think Tua Tagovailoa with the Miami Dolphins, now with the incredible speed of Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike McDaniel, head coach, calling the plays. It's now or never for Tua. No more excuses. Out of that group, I think he's got the best opportunity, the best around him. I mean, Jameis Winston did very well at the start of last season before he got hurt, but there's now, an injury worry there with the Saints and with him. Yeah, I think Tua's got the best opportunity. And certainly if early preseason and training camp form is anything to go by, then, he's on track to do that with those two exciting receivers. So we will see.
Well, I guess it makes sense with someone like him coming in, though, right? Because this is going into his third season. So now it's weird, really, where he's going to start coming of age, would you say?
Yeah, well, I think so. And he's further away from the hip injury, which really kind of derailed his college career. You know, he was the hot prospect coming out and everything got put off. And it was a serious hip injury and he needed to get healthier. He needs to be able to stretch the ball down the field. He can do that now. They got an all-pro offensive tackle in Terron Armstead in front of him to protect him. Everything's there for him. So, we'll see if it pans out. He's got to go out and do it now. But, that would be my answer to her. So that's two in the books, Gary. That's done. Two done. Yeah, get up and rolling now.
I know, just 28 more to go. I'm already counting down.
Yeah, exactly. And so are the listeners. No, please not. Please leave us the rating, the review, anything you want to do. Tell your friends. Follow our video clips at Neil Reynolds NFL, at the NR Podcast. And we'll be back next week with a great guest, another great guest, a friend of mine from the NFL Network, Steve Smith Sr. Until then, my thanks to Gary, my thanks to Davis Mills, and my thanks to you for listening. See you next time. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1. Go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2. Collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3. Play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games. All for free?
Step 4. Unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.